Today's shir is Masechet Kedushin Davov, and we will begin on Davov on the Aleph, three lines from the top. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbonim, if someone makes the following declaration in the Kedushin, Harayat Ishti, Harayat Arusasi, we know that Kedushin affects the Erisin, Harayat Knuyali, if you use the words you are now acquired to me, all of these are effective terminologies, effective declarations of Mekudeshes. Harayat Shali, if he said, you are mine, Harayat Bereshusa, you are my jurisdiction. Harayat Zekukali, you're bound to me. Here too, in these situations, Mekudeshes, these are effective wordings of Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, V'lesnina Kula Kachada, why does the Braisa separate these terminologies into two groups? Why are they not one group? Answers the Gemara, Tana Tlas Tlas Shemina V'Gersunu. As we know, in the times of Chazal, Torah was learned, Torah Shebal Peh. And when we learn Torah Shebal Peh, they learned it in the way that they could remember what they learned. So they learned three halachas, three wordings at a time, which had affected a Kedushin, and then they learned, which are valid expressions, and then they learned another group to help them know that those are valid expressions. Ask the Gemara, Ibailhu, the following questions was asked, Miuchedes li mahu, if the wording of Miuchedes was used, you singled out to me, Miuchedes li, we know that the Torah many times uses the word of Yiud to represent a marriage, because we know that Amavriya becomes the wife of her master through Yiyud. Ezrosimahu, you're going to be my helpmate. Negdosimahu, you're going to be my counterpart. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained what is the word of Negdosi. So the Mefarshim explained that the purpose of marriage is that each member of the couple should bring out the best of the other one. And sometimes what is involved is that one member of the marriage should tell the other marriage they should do something differently. Of course, it should be said in a nice way. And that's why Negdosi represents perhaps a valid terminology of Kedushin. Atzurosi, you're gathered to me. Tzalosi, you're one of my ribs, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. Adam Harishon, when he was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took one of his ribs and from that rib created Chava. Segurasi, you are close to me. Tachti, you are my place. Tfusasi, you are seized to me. Lukachasi, you are taken to me. What is the halacha? Are these valid declarations of Kedushin or not? Pashut miyichada, so the Gemara says we could at least answer one of these questions. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, Ha'ayma lukuchasi, if somebody says in affecting a Kedushin, lukuchasi, the halacha is hareza mukadeshis. It's a valid Kedushin. Shenemar, as the Torah says, ki'ikach ish isha. So we see that the Torah uses the word lukuchasi, kicha, to represent Kedushin, and therefore using such a terminology certainly makes it into a valid Kedushin. Ibailhu. So they asked, charufasi mahu. What will be the halacha of, if to use the word charufa? As the Mefarshim explained, actually the word charufa is a very unique word. We don't really even know the exact definition of that word. The Torah uses the word nechrefes leish, but the question is if such a wording was used. Is it a valid declaration or not? Toshma, the Tanya, ha'oyma charufasi, if somebody uses that terminology, the halach is mukudeshes, that it's a valid kedushin. Shekein b'Yehuda, kairin la'arusa charufa. For in Yehuda, an arusa would be called a charufa. Ask the Gemara, for Yehuda have a ruba de alma? Just because in Yehuda they use this expression to represent Erisin, does that mean that everyone else considers this a valid expression of Erisin? Says the Gemara, Hachikama. This is the way to understand the Gemara. Haima Cherufasi Mekudeshes. If somebody uses the words Cherufasi Mekudeshes, Shenemar, Fihi Shifcha Nechrefes Lish. So we see that Torah uses the words Cherufa to represent Erisin. And as Rashi and Tosfos and most Rishonim explain the Gemara as follows. The Gemara Masechta Krisis, Daf Yud Aleph, brings a machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. When the Torah speaks about Shifcha Charufa, exactly who does the Torah mean by Shifcha Charufa? Rabbi Shmuel says it's referring to a woman who's a Shifcha Kananis. Rabbi Kiva says that it refers to a half-freed, half-slave woman. She's a slave and half she's free. And that is the woman that's called a Shifcha Charufa. So the Gemara at this point is saying that the word Vehi Shifcha Nechrefes L'ish should be interpreted like Rabbi Kiva interprets it, which means that she has in her an element of being a Bas Chayrin, and that's why there is a full-fledged Erisin there, and that's why we could understand why the word Charufasi represents Erisin. Void, and furthermore, Bikuda Kairin La Arusa Charufa. Yehuda, in Yehuda, they used to call an Arusa Charufa. Ask the Gemara, Vihuda V'Oid L'Kra, if we're saying that the Torah calls an Arusa the name Charufa, because as we're explaining, we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So then what's the difference what it's called in Yehuda? The wording of the Torah is really the most telling sign what this word means. It says the Gemara, Allah Kama. This is the way to understand. Ha'im ha-charufa b'Yehuda mekudeshes. If somebody uses the word charufa in Yehuda, she is mekudeshes. She'kein b'Yehuda kairin la'rusa charufa. For in Yehuda, they used to call la'rusa charufa. And again, Rashi and Tosfos say now the Gemara is turning, and now the Gemara is actually saying we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the case of a Shifcha Charufa is a woman who's completely a Shifcha Kananis, where the term of Erisin is inappropriate, and therefore the word Charufasi by itself certainly does not mean Erisin. It's only because in Yehuda, in their language, they will use the word Charufa to mean Arusa. That's why in Yehuda, and Yehuda alone, does the word Charufa represent Erisin. And this Gemara is the basis of a concept that we've discussed previously, that the Bir Halacha discusses, that the Bir Halacha says that there is a difference in all halachic terminology between Lashon HaKodesh versus all other languages. When one uses Lashon HaKodesh, then Lashon HaKodesh has no geographical boundaries. And even if people don't use that terminology in the area where one is using this language, it would still be a valid Kedushin. Because if the Torah or Chazal designate this to be a valid language of Kedushin, it's considered a valid terminology. Only when we're not using the terms and the wording that were designated by the Torah or by the Chazal does it make a difference. Do geographical boundaries begin to make a difference? Continues the Gemara. We spoke at the beginning of the Shir different words, different declarations that the Gemara considered, do they or do they not represent a Lashon Kedushin? And it's important as we begin this piece of Gemara to quote the Rashba as he is explained by Chazon Ish. The Rashba says, doesn't a person know what he says? And certainly, as we will discuss later in the shir, the intent of what the husband had, the intent that the wife had, certainly play a role in determining if the kedushin is a valid kedushin or not. However, the Gemara's question actually, says the Rashba, refers to a situation where the person himself is not sure what he means. The person wants to effect a kedushin, and he wants to use the wording that Chazal says, say, accomplish a kedushin, but he isn't quite certain, and we're not quite certain which words fall into that category or which words do not fall into that category. And therefore, says the Gemara, b'mayis kinan. We spoke about the different wording and we want to know if it's valid or not, and ask the Gemara what exactly is the situation. If it's referring to a situation where he wasn't speaking to her about a get in Kedushin. And the Rishonim debate, when our Gemara uses the words Gita v'kedusheha, what does the Gemara mean here? Some Rishonim, the Ritva, actually suggests that the word get doesn't really belong here. The word get actually belongs in the further Gemara we're going to learn, and that's why the Gemara mentions it here too. But most Mefarshim, and they say that's Pshat and Rashi, say that the exact same questions that we asked regarding Kedushin, if these are valid declarations of Kedushin, the same question, the same questions could be asked regarding Gittin if you said it just the opposite. If you said Enim Yuedis, Enim Yuchedis, will this be a valid terminology of a get or not? Furthermore, the Sefer HaMakna points out that specifically when we speak about a get, but even with a Kedushin, we know that there's a shtar involved in a get or in a Kedushin. Says the Sefer HaMakna, certainly these ambiguous terms that we're discussing would not make a valid shtar get or a valid shtar kedushin. For if we're relying on a document, the wording of the document must be accurate. The discussion we're having here, says the Sefer HaMakna, is when one is making a verbal declaration. Is this effective verbal or verbal declaration or not? So says the Gemara again, exactly with my skin, what is the situation we're discussing here? That they're not discussing Gittin V'Kedushin. So since these aren't obvious wordings that affect Kedushin, how should she know what he's saying to her, that she would even have a Havamina, that it should be considered a kedushin? Vela b'medabrimo aliske gita v'kedusheha. It must be a situation where they were discussing her marriage. So ask the Gemara, avagav deloy amalo, even if he didn't hand her, say anything to her, the kedushin should be valid, since they're oiskin b'oise inyan, because as the Gemara is going to prove, if they're a sukin b'oise inyan, that creates a valid kedushin. The Tanan, for as we have learned in the Mishnah, if they were speaking with a woman regarding Gittin and V'Kedushin, the Nosan L'Gittin, V'Kedushev L'Pirish, and then he gave a get or a Kedushin and he did not say anything, it's still considered a valid get or Kedushin. The fact that he was speaking about that subject is enough. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Tzarech Lefarish, that he has to actually express clearly what he meant. V'amrav Huna Amar Shmuel, La'alocha K'Rabbi Yosi. The halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. So if it's medabri mal iski gita v'kedusha, it's certainly going to be a valid kedushin. And if it's not medabri imal al iski gita v'kedusha, it's certainly not a valid kedushin. Says the Gemara, Amri l'olam medaba al iski gita v'kedusha. Actually, they were speaking about git and kedushin. Vidi yav lav shasik, and certainly if he gave it a get, and said nothing more, or gave it a kedushin and said nothing more, there would be no question, hachinami, that she certainly would be a mukudeshes. Hachim maskinen, the yavlov amala bahani lishni. Sometimes saying the wrong thing is worse than saying nothing at all. And that's exactly this case, that he used one of these ambiguous expressions. Vach kame baile, and the Gemara's question is, hani lishni, these language that we use, l'kedusha kamala, do we understand them to be a lashon of kedushin? Idema l'malacha kamala, it doesn't mean that he's hiring her to work, and that has nothing to do with kedushin. And therefore, the Gemara says, teku, we remain with the question. And the Gemara just goes a little further in analyzing this machlokes of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Gufa. If a man was speaking to a woman regarding a get the kedushin, and he actually gave her get the kedushin, that's enough to affect a get or kedushin. He has to express himself more. However, it's only going to be valid if they're speaking regarding that subject. If they're not speaking at that subject, then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that it's not a valid kedushin. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi. This qualification of Rabbi Yossi's ruling is actually a machlokes tanoi. Rabbi Yossi v'husha sukim b'yse inyan. Only then does Rabbi Yossi hold that it will be a valid kedushin. Ask the Gemara, v'ilav the sukim b'ayse inyan. If they're not even speaking about that subject, and these aren't clear expressions of kedushin, so the question is, how does she know what he meant? That even that Rabbi Yossi should suggest that it's a valid kedushin. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan. They were discussing kedushin, and they went from one topic to another topic. That is considered, that is the situation where Rabbi Yossi says, according to Rabbi, that it would be a valid kedushin, and according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, Rabbi Yossi only says it's a valid kedushin when they're asukim ba'isinyan. But if they're not a sukkim ba'is inyan, if they're only b'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan, according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, it would not be a valid kedushin. There's a machlokes rishonim exactly how to define me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan. Some rishonim say that they were talking about, they were discussing issues regarding their marriage. However, the Me'iri says, if they were discussing issues regarding their life together, regarding their marriage, that would certainly not be a situation of me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan. That would actually be a situation of a sukkim ba'isinyan, that everybody agrees, according to Rabbi Yossi, would certainly be valid kedushin. Therefore, the Miri has an interesting pshat. He says, me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan means that they were talking not about their own marriage. First, they were talking about their own marriage. Then they digressed to begin discussing other people's marriages. And that, says the Me'iri, is considered, since they're still discussing the subject of marriage, it's considered me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan. There is a question of actually a machlokes rishonim. What is going to be the halacha that if the woman doesn't clearly understand the meaning of what her husband said, is that going to be a valid kedushin or not? So the Rashba says, only when one of the non-standard expressions is used, then, says the Rashba, will the kedushin not be a valid kedushin. However, if he uses the standard terminology that we've always discussed, that you have to say Harei at Mekudeshesli, there, even if the wife claims that she didn't understand what he said, the Kedushin will be a valid Kedushin. The Torah, however, disagrees, and the Torah says that even if he used the standard terminology of Harei Af Mekudeshes Li, if the wife claims that she did not understand the meaning, the Kedushin will not be a Kedushin. The Beis Yosef, quoting the Rosh, draws a distinction between the husband and the wife. And he says that even though the wife is believed to glay ignorance regarding the understanding of the declaration that her husband made, the husband doesn't have that nemanus. He says, for example, if a man gives a woman a ring and says, Harei at lekuchasi, even if afterwards he claims that he did not recognize that this was affecting Kedushin, he meant to give it as a gift, the halacha would still be that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. It's only regarding the woman, says the Beis Yosef, that we make this distinction. So there's a machlokes ha'achronim, how to understand what the Torah is quoting the Rosh. The Rav Naftali Trop seems to understand that the way to understand the Rosh is because we don't believe the man. If we see that the man gave the wife a ring, and we also see that the man used this terminology that the Gemara certainly considers a valid form of Kedushin, he's not to be believed. But if we would know that the man really was saying the truth, even though he gave her a ring, and even though he said Harei at lekuchasi, the halacha would be that the Kedushin were indeed not to be a Kedushin. However, other Achroinim disagree. And they say that whenever we have a situation that a valid expression coupled with the fact that a ring was given takes place, there we automatically have a Kedushin, even if we would be able to believe the man in his saying that he really didn't understand what he was doing. What happens, continues the Rajba to discuss, when a situation where the word Harei at Lukuchasi, for example, was used, and the woman says that she did understand that a marriage was taking place, therefore, says the Rajba, that we would have a valid Kedushin. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eger. We learned in the previous year that in a case where the woman was the one that made the declaration, where she said, Harei ani mekudeshes loch, even if the man says, I understood what was happening here, and I understood that a Kedushin was taking place here, and I accepted that a Kedushin was taking place, the Kedushin would still not be a valid Kedushin. So ask Rabbi Kivego, what is the difference? Why in that case would there not be a Kedushin? And here, there is a Kedushin. We do have a valid Kedushin. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the previous case, where the Kedushin lacks the basic elements of the requirement of Kedushin, even if the husband and wife claim that they were intending to get married, the Edim aren't valid Edim, because the Edim aren't actually witnessing a real Kedushin. Whereas in our case, a real Kedushin is taking place, and therefore it's considered a valid Kedushin. Our Gemara, Reb Yossi, said that certainly if a Sukim Ba'isa Inyan, they're still involved in getting married, the halacha would be that even if one of the ambiguous wording were used, the Kedushin would be a valid Kedushin. And the question is, how long is it considered a Sukim Ba'isa Inyan? The Ksav Sofer discusses an interesting shaila. The Ksav Sofer discusses that there was a chasin under the chuppah, and he started saying Harei At, and he became emotionally overwhelmed, and it took him quite a while to say Harei At, to complete the clause of saying Harei At Mekudeshes Li. Would that be considered a situation of a Sukim Ba'isa Inyan? There was quite an interval of silence. Says the Ksav Sofer, the actual standing under the chuppah, which certainly represents that the chassan understands that he's there in order to get married, that creates a situation of a sukkim ba'isa inyan, no matter what type of time lag there is between him actually saying the sentence, saying the entire sentence. Furthermore, the paiskim indicate, particularly sometimes we have chsanim that are not that knowledgeable and they don't know the wording of Harei at mekudeshesli p'tabazu kudas moishiv Yisrael. Many paiskim suggest that the Masada Kedushin says word by word of this clause that the chassan repeats after him. However, what is the halacha if the Masada Kedushin is saying the word li? There are paiskim that suggest that even if the Masada Kedushin is saying word by word, which the chassan repeats, certainly the word li should not be said by the Masada Kedushin. The Masada Kedushin before the wedding should make sure that the chassan at least is able to say on his own the word li. Because otherwise, say some of the paiskim, there's a concern that it will look that the chassan is only acting as a shliach on behalf of the Masada Kedushin to effect the Kedushin. And therefore it's important that the word li be said totally independently by the chassan. It certainly seems from the opinion of the Taz that if the chassan is saying word for word, even if the word li he's only repeating because he heard from the Masada Kedushin, it would still be considered a valid Kedushin. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. He says that in certain marriage ceremonies where they don't want to follow the wording that our Gemara has just taught us, it's so important to follow the accurate wording, and actually all that the chassan and kala do under the chuppah is just, so to speak, exchange commitment to each other to honor and respect and love each other. Says Rav Zalman Nechemya that these words are not considered a valid Kedushin. As we've been learning in the last two shiurim, Kedushin is not just a marriage commitment. Kedushin is actually a halachic situation. It's a kinyan. And if the wording of a kinyan are not used, we don't have a valid kinyan. In fact, the Mefarshim explain why were Chazal so makbid and so careful that the wording of Harei at mekudeshesli should be used? Because a marriage represents something holy. And that wording of Harei at mekudeshesli, where the chassan recognizes that that is what he is creating as he begins a marriage, is the appropriate wording to use and the only appropriate wording to be used in creating a marriage. Amrav Huna Mishmu, Halacha Krab Yosi. The halacha actually follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Amle Rav Yemele Rav Ashi. Vela Hod Amrav Yehuda Mishmuel. Kosh Eni Dei B'Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin. Anyone who doesn't know the halachas of Gittin V'Kedushin, Lo Yehei Lo Yeisek Imam, should not have any dealing with halacha V'Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, does it mean afil l'shmilei hadrav huna mishmul? Does it mean that if someone doesn't know this din, that the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Is that considered a person that's any a day b'tif hilchus gutim v'kedushin? Amalei enoch nami, yes. Every Masada Kedushin must even know these halachas. Says, so there's a machlaitis rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim explain that what the Gemara means is that certain times this is a question that can come up with these, where the not proper, the vague expression was used, but they were sukkim by sinyan, and it could really be a situation where we have a shaila and we have a kedushin or not, and therefore every Masada Kedushin is responsible to know it. Taisus seems to learn a different pshat. Taisus seems to learn that at times people are going to use these wording and they're going to make a mistake and not recognize that they've actually affected a Kedushin here. And therefore, kol she'eni yedeya b'tev gut v'kedushin lo yehei le'esek mam, because you could end up with a situation of a kedushin without you even recognizing what has happened here. The Mefarshim asked the question. Here the Gemara says kol she'eni yedeya b'tev gut v'kedushin lo yehei'esek imam. Shouldn't the Gemara have said kol she'eni yedeya b'tev kedushin v'gitin? Because kedushin come before get. First you get married, and then chas v'sholem you can get divorced. Why does the Gemara say kol she'eni yedeya b'tiv gittin, first mentioning the get and then kedushin? So I saw two pshatim that have an interesting halachic nafgamina. One pshat is just like we find, and the Rambam explains that mesechta gittin we learn before mesechta kedushin, even though, as we just said, first you have to get married in order chas v'sholem that there should be a divorce. But the reason Chazal had Masechta Gittin before Masechta Kedushin, because they followed the order of the Pasuk that says V'yotza V'haysa. So the Gemara here remains consistent to that wording of Gittin V'Kedushin. However, other Mefarshim explain that actually being a Masechta Kedushin is not really that very difficult. It just really involves saying a bracha. Of course, they're very important dinim. We have to make sure that they're edim. We have to make sure that the edim are watching the rules about the tabas, about the ring. But it's not really that difficult. And in fact, that's why the Taz says that in order to be a Masada Kedushin, you don't have to necessarily be somebody that's Yudei B'Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin. However, Gittin have very many halachas, as we just finished learning Masechta Gittin. Regarding Gittin, the only person that may be involved in organizing a get is someone who actually knows Hilchos Gittin. Similarly, a second marriage, there the halachas involved are much more complicated to be the Masada Kedushin of a second marriage. And therefore, what the Gemara says, Kol She'eni Yedeya B'Tiv Gittin, which means arranging a get, or Kedushin, meaning a second Kedushin, that should only be done by people who are actually experts. The Ramah actually says that the halacha is that the Siddur Kedushin, even though we just learned that the Taz says that being Masada Kedushin is not so difficult, still Siddur Kedushin belongs to the Rav. That was part of his income. However, the Noida Behuda says that even though Siddur Kedushin belongs to the Rav, if the Rav comes late to the wedding, then we don't have to wait for him, and we can give Siddur Kedushin to someone else who's there. Nowadays, where communities do not necessarily have official Rabbonim, so the question is, who chooses the Masada Kedushin? So the Shaul Sechuvos B'Tzel HaChachma says that it's the Chassan that chooses the Masada Kedushin. Because he explains that actually the Bracha of Kedushin should be recited by the Chassan. He's the one that's marrying the Kala, and like all Brachas, the one who's actually performing the mitzvah should make the Bracha. However, Chazal said, since the Shulchan Aruch says, since not everyone is versed in being able to make a Bracha, so Kedei Shloi Levayish, not to embarrass anyone, we appoint the Masada Kedushin. But the Masada Kedushin is actually acting in the place as the Shliach of the Chassan, and therefore it's the Chassan who chooses who should be the Masada Kedushin. It's ever interesting to note that the Shaul Sechuvos van Hoggis says that that's if the Chassan is paying for the wedding. If the Kala is paying for the wedding, if the Kala side is paying for the wedding, then it's the Kala side's right to choose who should be the Masada Kedushin. Shlomo Zalman Brown in the Shomet Shana Balocha says, even though our Gemara is saying, Kol She'eni Yedeya B'Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin Lo Yehei Lo Esek Imayim, it certainly doesn't mean that he has to be an expert in every area of the halacha. As long as the person, he says, is able to identify what is a shaila and what is an issue and what is not an issue, that is already considered a person who's in the category of Yedeya B'Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin. V'chein continues the Gemara. V'chein B'Gerishin. The same thing as by a get. Nosin L'Gittah. If a man gives his wife a get, Vamala. And he tells her, Harayat Mushalachas, Harayat Mugureshas, Harayat Mutaris L'chal Adam. All of these are considered valid expressions of a get, and therefore the halacha is Harehi Mugureshas. Says the Gemara further, Pshita, Nasan Lagita, if somebody gives a get to his wife, Amal al Ishta, Harayat Bas Chayrin, you're a free woman. It's a meaningless statement. And as the Mefarshim explained, as we've said many times, a wife is not owned by a husband. Harayat Bas Chayrin is a language that represents that I'm freeing you. Till now I owned you, and now I no longer own you. But a wife was actually never owned by the husband. And therefore, it's an inappropriate lashon for gerushin. Amala l'shivchasa. If somebody said to a shivcha kananis, Harayat mataris l'chal adam, you can now marry anyone you want, the halacha is lo'yam l'klum. And as the Rishonim explained, even though that is a consequence of the freeing of a shivcha kananis, still, that is not the point of a shichur. Others explain, even when she's freed, she doesn't automatically get the right to marry a regular Jew. She has to go to the mikveh first. Others say that this isser for a shifcha kananis to marry a regular Jew is only midrabanan. So therefore, the point of freeing her is not to allow her to marry ben chayrim, because midaraisa, even a shifcha kananis could have married a ben chayrim, so therefore it's not a valid expression of emancipation. Amla l'ishta. However, ask the Gemara, what's going to be the din if somebody says to his wife, Harei at la'atzmech, mahu, mi amrina l'malacha kamala, that it means that I am letting you keep your earnings, or dim l'gamri kamala, that he meant to entirely free her. Amla y'ravina l'ravashi, the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, gufish a good shichur, what is the wording of a get shichur? Harayat ben chayrim, harayat la'atzmach. Says the Gemara, hashta, oma evikanani, the kanale gufay. The ownership of an owner to an evikanani is certainly a lot greater than the ownership of a husband to a wife. So if somebody uses this wording by an evikanani, the halacha is, ki, when he says it, kashta, or ma evikanani, the karen legufe, where the owner completely owns it, owns him, ki amalei harei at la'atzmacha, when he uses such a wording, legamri kamalei, we say he means that he's completely freeing him, ishtoi, where his ownership in the first place was a weaker ownership, the loy karen legufe, that he didn't own him that much in the first place, loy koshkein, that it's a varad loshim. And as the Mefarshim explained, if so, why is Harei at Bas Chayrim not a valid language for a get? Harei at Bas Chayrim is a valid language for a Shifcha Kananis. And now Al Gemara is suggesting that anything that's considered a valid expression for a Shifcha Kananis is certainly a valid expression for a get. So Mefarshim explained, yes, the fact that something is a valid expression for Shifcha Kananis clearly indicates that it's a valid expression for a get, if it at least makes sense. However, as we explained earlier, Harei at Bas Chayrim doesn't have any meaning as far as a get, because he never owned the wife in the first place. So even though it's a valid terminology for Shichur, it will not be a valid terminology for a get. Amle Ravina l'Ravashi, ein li esach b'mai. If somebody says to a evikanani, ein lich esach b'ai, what is going to be the halacha? Mi aminin, ein li esach b'ach, legamri kamalei, he means that I'm completely freeing you. Adim la malachi kamalei, that he's allowing him to keep his own earnings, but he's certainly still evikanani. Amalei Rav Nachman l'Ravashi, v'amalei Rav Chanim chuzol l'Ravashi, toshima, hamoicha avdaloi v'kechavim, if somebody sells his evikanani to a goy. So we learned in Masech the Gittin that if somebody sells his evikanani to a guy, he has to free him, and he has to pay even 10 times his value to free him. However, yotz l'cheiris, and then when he redeems him, he goes out, v'tzorach get shichur m'rabba arishin. He has to write a get shichur to him. And the Rishonim explain, because the only ownership a guy could have an evikanani is not the ownership of his actual guf. of his actual body. That is only possible by Yisraelim. So even though the Goy freed him, and the master, that only affects, and that only has relevance to his work, but not to his actual good, and therefore he needs to get Shechur. Amar Shimon Gamliel, however, comments from Shimon Gamliel, but Medvar Mamurim, when must he write the get Shechur, Shloi Kosov Loi Oinoi, if he had not written a document previously, Ava Kosov Loi Oinoi, if he had already previously written this document, Zer Shechuroi, then that he already has a get Shechur, and the owner does not have to write another get Shechur. Ask the Gemara Hechi Dami Oinoi, what is that Oinoi mean? Amrav Sheshes, the Kosov Law that he wrote to him, Kish Tivrech Vimena, when you run away from me, Eilich Esich Bach, I won't have any connection to you. So we see that the wording Eilich Esich Bach is a valid wording of Shechur. The Rishonim ask that we learned the Masech to Gittin, that somebody says Din Udvarim Eilich Asad Azu, the Halacha is that it's not a way of giving up right to a field. Why is it considered a valid way of giving up ownership in an Eved Kanani? So Rishonim answer, because what happens when someone says Ein li Esek Bach? What happens is that somebody has to take ownership. So a field can't take ownership of itself. However, an Eved Kanani can take ownership of himself after he's freed. And therefore, even though Ein li Esek Bach would not be valid by a field, it is valid by an Eved Kanani. Amar Abaye, Hamakanish b'milva. If a woman owes a man money, and the man is Makadish the woman with that money, Ein Makadishus. And the Rishonim explain the reason is because, as we've learned in the previous Shurim, the reason we know Kesef affects a Kedushin is because we learn it from Stei Ephraim. And Stei Ephraim, Avram actually handed over, transmitted Kesef to Ephraim. Here, there is no transmission of anything real, and therefore it's Enema Kadeshus. Ba'nos Milva, if he ever, however, said, Ba'nos Milva, with the benefit of a Milva, the Aloch is Mukadeshus. However, V'os Alasus Kain, M'mnei Haramus Rimus. So Rishonim and the Achronim point out, from here, it seems that if not for the problem that he owed her money, that it's not real money, even with ribis, it would be a kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Haya Nos Milva, Hayichidami. What does that mean? Ilayim the Askafa. It was saying that he put on her an interest obligation. Domala, Arba B'chamisha. He's lending her $4, and she has to pay him back $5. So ask the Gemara, there are two problems here. Her ribis ma'al yusahi, this is real ribis. If I lend somebody 4 coins and I expect they return 5 coins, that's not haramus ribis, that's something that looks like ribis, it's real ribis. Furthermore, it's the same as the milva. She's not getting anything real into her hands. So as I said, there are Rishonim that say, if not for the problem that it was a milva, even though she is giving him ribis, it would be a valid kedushin. There are, however, other Rishonim that say that ribis can never be considered money that is owed, and therefore would never be a valid kedushin. The question that some Rishonim debate is what happens if she did pay him ribis? A woman borrowed money from a man. Our case, she borrowed 4 coins, she returned 5 coins, and now after he gets the 5th coin, he gives it to her as kedushin, as kesef kedushin. Would it be a valid kedushin or not? Some Rishonim say that just like the Gemara we're going to learn says that if somebody steals something from a woman and then gives it back to her as kedushin, it's a valid kedushin. Here too it would be a valid kedushin. Other Rishonim suggest differently. In the case where somebody steals something from a woman and then gives that item back to her, he recognizes that he's doing the wrong thing, and therefore it's a valid kedushin. Here, he may not recognize he's doing that. This is money that he's not entitled to, and therefore it's not a valid kedushin. So the Gemara, the case here is the arvach lo zimna. And the Rishonim have a number of explanations of what does arvach lo zimna mean. Rashi explains that a woman owes the man money, and there's two variations of this pshat. One pshat is that it came due to pay the money, or the due time did not yet come, and somebody would go over to her, would you be willing to pay to extend the due date that you don't have to pay the money yet? That has real financial value, and that's not real ribbis, because ribbis means ribbis ktsutza, that it's set. Here it's not set, and therefore it's considered haramas ribbis. Other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam says, where it's a situation where she owes money to someone else, and the time came to pay up that loan, and the husband, the man who wants to be Mekadoshar, says, you know what, I'll pay the person that you owe money to some extra payment in order that he shouldn't claim the money that you owe him yet. That is not considered real ribbis, it's considered harabbis ribbis. But it is considered as if he really gave her something of real benefit. Amarava, if somebody says to someone else, Hainach mana asmash tachzirili, here I'm giving you a money on condition that you return it to me. But mechalaikana, if somebody is giving money to effect the sale in such a manner, it's not going to be a valid sale. Bisha, if somebody gives a wife money in this way to effect the kedushin, ainam kedushis, we would not have a kedushin here. But pinyan aben, ain benoy padui, we would not have a valid pinyan aben. But truma, if somebody gives a kohen truma in such a fashion, with the condition that you return the truma to me, yotzi de nesina, it's considered that he gave the kohen the proper truma. However, also lasis kain, it's inappropriate to do this. It looks like the kohen is involved getting his own truma because he agreed to give it back. Says the Gemara. Let's understand Rava's opinion. In all the cases, it should be valid. If he says it's not considered a valid matana, even by truma, it should not be a valid way of giving truma. Void. Rava's the man that says matana nas lahachse shma matana. Dama Rava. Halacha suzeh. The halacha is that one is supposed to own his own esrig. It has to be lochem on the first day. Let's say someone doesn't have his own esrig. I can't just lend him my esrig, because esrig hashol, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So what do? I tell him, heilach esrig zeh, here's this esrig, amnash tachzirili, with the condition you return it to me. The halacha is not levachziroi. If the person takes the esrog and returns it to him, yotze, he has been mekayim the mitzvah. Vimlav, if he doesn't return it, lo yotze, he has not been mekayim the mitzvah, because it turns out that since he didn't fulfill the stipulation, the esrog was never his. Elo, omer, Ravashi, a matana lahas lahachzir is always considered a matana. Levami isha, except in the case of a wife, since we learned earlier that chalipin can't affect kedushin, so can not, this is not acceptable. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim explain because it's considered a situation of that it looks like chalipin, and others say that it's exactly similar to chalipin, and just like, so it's not just a gzera, it actually falls into the category of chalipa. Chalipin. Amalei Rav Huna Ma'avirei Rav Nechemi Rav Ashi. Hacha Aminim Mishmei Rav Kvasech. You actually repeated properly what Rav said. Just to mention quickly regarding this halachas of matanam nas lahachser, there's a machlokes Rishonim that if I give something to someone else as a matanam nas lahachser, when he returns it to me, does a new kinyan have to be made when he returns it to me? Some Rishonim say that matana las lahachzir, since it became completely his, in order to become mine again, a matana, a kinyan is not required. Other Rishonim suggest that if we consider it a real matana, so for it to come back to me, a real kinyan is required. The Sfas Emes points out that even though, as we said, the din of lechem by an esrig is only on the first day, what would be the halacha if someone gave an esrig to someone else on the second day and he doesn't give it back? The halacha is that he would not be mekayim the mitzvah. Because even though we don't have an issue of lechem, we have a different issue. We have the issue of mitzvah baba veira. I gave the esrig to that person with a specific stipulation that he return it, and if he doesn't follow my direction, then the halach is that he's considered that he took something inappropriately, and we have a situation of mitzvah hababa veira. The Mepais can point out that even though normally the halach is matana las lahachzer, there is no specific time frame, and as long as it's given back, we have a situation of matana las lahachzer. Certainly point out the paiskim by esrig, where I need my esrig back on yontif. So if the person's going to give me back the esrig after yontif, it's not considered that he fulfilled my stipulation, because after yontif is too late. There's an interesting shailus yavitz that says that since we just learned in our shir that a matana mnas lahachzer is considered a matana, says the shailus yavitz, since nowadays we don't know for certain that Kohanim are really Kohanim, therefore what one should do when he gives the Kohen the money for the Pinyan HaBen, they should give it by Matana Menas Lahachzer, because maybe the Kohen is not really entitled to that money. Along the same lines, says the Shailus Yavitz, every time somebody gives a Kohen, somebody who is a Bechor meets a Kohen, he should be paid himself, because he isn't quite sure that that Kohen that he was paid himself, or his father was paid to him by when he was a child, is a real Kohen. However, the Chasam Sofer and most Poskim disagree with the opinion of the Shailus Yavitz, and they say certainly opinion of Ben should be done properly. Opinion of Ben should be done without a specific stipulation that the Kohen should return the coins. Because if we begin the Paiskim, the Chasam Sofer, the Michas Yitzchak say that we begin with stipulations, we have to be very careful that these stipulations are articulated properly. Otherwise, if it's not a matana las la'achzer, if it may be an invalid nesina, and it would not be considered a pidyon. And the Mefarshim go on to say that conducting a proper pidyon aben with a child is a skula that the child should grow up to be healthy and be matzliach.